Hey everyone, David here. I'd like to welcome you to what we're calling Manifesting Miracles Week on the Successful Mind Podcast. Over the course of the next 5 days, I'm going to be sharing with you one of the most influential books that helped me on my own personal growth journey, A Course in Miracles. Each day, I'm going to be breaking down a chapter or a series of chapters that led to some of my breakthroughs and hopefully will be the catalyst for you to do the same. I look forward to sharing these lessons with you and hearing about your own manifestation of miracles in the weeks and months to come. On today's episode, I focus on the healing of the dream and several sections within that chapter of the text. Let's get to it. Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. So this is a really great piece of study that we're going to go through that is really moving, going to help move the authority to the God authority that you need in order to go from good to great over the course of this year. Everything is really moving you in that direction. And the lesson that I'm taking today is going to be directly from a book that I've studied for years called A Course in Miracles. If you don't have it, you could get it and you could start to make it a study in your life. It's a really fantastic piece of work, especially with the idea of changing the way that we think. So I'm going to start with what's called the quiet answer. In quietness, all things are answered. And is every problem, and every problem is quietly resolved. In conflict, there can be no answer and no resolution, for its purpose is to make no resolution possible and to assure no answer will be plain. A problem set in conflict has no answer, for it is seen in different ways, and what would be an answer from one point of view is not an answer in another light. Now, here's what we're doing. This lesson here is really going to be on what and how do we heal in order to change the authority in our mind. If we go back to the idea of Waddell's work, he's saying that everything is perfect and everything is perfect. But it is the conflict in our mind that needs to be healed if we're going to bring ourselves back into the light so that we can literally make clear decisions on how to move forward and remove the problems that appear to be in our path. You are in conflict. Thus, it must be clear you cannot answer anything at all, for conflict has no limited effects. Yet if God gave you an answer, there must be a way in which your problems are resolved. For what he wills already has been done. That means that there is something that is really fantastic about the idea that your purpose is already complete. It's complete in the universe. It's complete in God's eyes. All we need to do is to bridge the gap in our life. And even that is done. It's just that we're in conflict around the idea. Thus, it must be that time is not involved in every problem that can be answered now. Yet it must also be that in your state of mind, solution is impossible. So if we're in conflict, then solution seems to be impossible. Whenever we're in conflict about something that we're evaluating is not true, even though we're evaluating it from a point of this is what the fact is, this is what happened, this is what occurred, this is the situation that I'm in. It may be a fact in your physical experience, but it doesn't mean that that's what the truth is. Yet it must also be that in your state of mind, solution is impossible. Again, that's conflict. Therefore, God must have given you a way of reaching to another state of mind in which the answer is already there. Because he said, like the book says, everything is already done. It's already complete. In the Course in Miracles, they call this the holy instant. Such is the holy instant. It is here that all your problems should be brought and left. Here they belong, for here their answer is. And when its answer is a problem, must be simple and easily resolved. It must be pointless to attempt to solve a problem where the answer cannot be. Yet just as surely it must be resolved. If it is brought to where the answer is. The answer is always in the truth, and it is never in confusion. It is also never in what it is that we are perceiving, because if we're perceiving something that is bringing us to confusion, there can't be truth in the perception. Attempt to solve no problems but within the holy instant's surety. And again, we're talking about truth there. For there, the problem will be answered and resolved. Outside, there will be no solution, for there is no answer there that could be found. Nowhere outside, a single simple question is ever asked. The world can only ask a double question. One with many answers can have no answers. Now, I want you to write that down. If you ask a question that has many answers, the question has no answers in truth. This is extremely important to understand this because there's only one truth, right? So let me say it again. One with many answers can have no answers. None of them will do. It does not ask a question to be answered, but only to restate its point of truth. I'm sorry, its point of view, which is confusion and non-truth. In other words, it is a lie. All questions asked within this world are but a way of looking, not a question asked. A question asked in hate cannot be answered because it is an answer in itself. A double question asks and answers, both attesting the same thing in different form. The world asks but one question. It is, of these illusions, which of them is true? Which ones establish peace and offer joy? And which ones can bring escape from all the pain of which this world is made? Whatever form the question takes, its purpose is the same. And that's to keep you right where you are. It's like, I have a choice between two pains, but that's not true. Because we're not looking within, we're looking without. It asks but to establish that sin is real and answers in the form of preference. Which sin do you prefer? That is the one that you should choose. The others are not true. What can the body get that you would want the most of all? It is your servant and also your friend, but tell it what you want and it will serve you lovingly as well. This is not a question, for it tells you what you want and where to go for it. It leaves no room to question its beliefs, except that what it states takes questions form. In other words, it's talking about the appearance of things, right? We have a tendency to ask a question based on the appearance of things, not the truth that we desire to experience. So the changing of an experience externally does not change anything in your truth unless you change your question based on the appearance of those things. A pseudo question has no answer. It dictates the answer even as it asks. Thus is all questioning within the world a form of propaganda for itself. Just as the body witnesses are but the senses from within itself, so are the answers to the questions of the world contained within the questions that are asked. Where answers represent the questions, they add nothing new and nothing has been learned. An honest question is a learning tool that asks for something that you do not know. It does not set conditions for response, but merely asks what the response should be. But no one in a conflict state is free to ask this question, for he does not want an honest answer where the conflict ends. Only within the holy instant can an honest question honestly be asked, and from the meaning of the question does the meaning engulfness of the answer come. Now think. If you do not want the answer, you're asking a question from a place of non-truth. Now, again, that does not mean that what you're experiencing is not a fact in your life. This is a little bit where spiritual teachings can get very confusing, because we're taught that it's all an illusion. What is an illusion is not the physical experience itself, but the lie behind the physical experience that we are taking as truth because it's a physical fact. Here, it is possible to separate your wishes from the answer so it can be given you and also be received. The answer is provided everywhere, yet it is only here that it can be heard. An honest answer asks no sacrifice because it answers questions truly asked. In other words, we're asking the question from the place of truth, not from the apparent lie of the illusion that we're experiencing in fact. Okay? Now, all of this is necessary to understand if we're literally going to raise and change the authority in our mind, because most of the questions that we answer have multiple answers to them. At least that's what we think in our mind. But we have to realize that's coming from a completely different authority subconsciously. The questions of the world, but ask of whom is sacrifice demanded, asking not if sacrifice is meaningful at all. And so unless the answer tells of whom, it will remain unrecognized, unheard, and thus the question is preserved intact because it gave the answer to itself. The holy instant is the interval in which the mind is still enough to hear an answer that is not entailed within the question asked. In other words, you cannot seek truth from a false premise. It offers something new and different from the question. How could it be answered if it but repeats itself? It makes no sense. It can't be. Therefore, attempt to solve no problems in a world from which the answer has been barred. Okay? That means that when you're coming up with all this confusion in your mind, multiple scenarios in your mind, there doesn't seem to be any clear path. You're asking the question from a place where truth can't even get in. It's not part of the same question. But bring the problem to the only place that holds the answer, lovingly for you. Here are the answers that will solve your problems because they stand apart from them, and see what can be answered. What the question is, though they leave the first unanswered. In other words, When you hear the truth, it does not answer the question that came from the false. It gives you a totally different frame of reference from coming from, and literally begins to change the authority in your mind. Because the truth empowers you. The questions with multiple answers always project the problem onto the false fact that is established in your life. In the holy instant, you can bring the question to the answer and receive the answer that was made for you, the truth that does belong in your life. Was it an easy read? No, it was not an easy read at first. Here's the way that I approached the book, because the book, especially the copy that I have, is actually three books. You've got the course workbook, you've got, which is the course test. You have the questions, and you also have the program that takes you through every day, right? So you go through like one lesson a day for 365 days. I did not do that when I first started it. I did it by opening the book up and just kind of seeing what stood out to me. So just reading things that kind of popped out to me. As time went on, I went through the book more formally. But it was it gets my nature of both curiosity going and also skeptical, right? So I approach work with that idea. I'm curious, but I'm skeptical. I don't necessarily take everything as fact. And I'll be honest with you, there's some things in A Course in Miracles that I don't agree with, right? I just don't agree with it. But I would say that probably, 80, 90% of the book, I think it is right on, packed with truth. The healing example. The only way to heal is to be healed. Now let me repeat that. The only way to heal is to be healed. And when we think of healing, what we want to think of is becoming whole. Now, the only way to become whole is to be whole. And in order to be whole, you have to reconsider yourself as whole to begin with. The miracle extends without your help, but you are needed that it can begin. In other words, it's established, it's already here for you, but in order that it actually takes a process within your life, something must change within you that allows you to accept that. Accept the miracle of healing, and it will go forth because of what it is. It's the truth. It is the nature to extend itself the instant it's born. Where is it born? It's born of consciousness within you. And it is born the instant it is offered and received. Okay? In other words, if it's actually coming from a place of truth, the moment that that truth steps into the situation, it is immediately received. Because then both the person and the problem are stepping out of the lie and stepping into the truth. It cannot be any other way. No one can ask another to be healed, but he can let himself be healed and then offer the other what it is that he received by the process of demonstration. In other words, I'm going to be the healing that I want to see in the world. I want to be the healing that I want reflected back to me. Who can bestow upon another what he does not have? He cannot. So to ask the problem to change, because inevitably the problem always concerns other individuals, the changing must take place inward before it can be experienced outward. And who can share what he denies himself? Now, it's an interesting sentence that they put in here, and who can share what he denies himself? So the denial takes place to the self, and it takes place of the self. To the self is denying the truth that is all around us. It is not letting the truth actually come in. It only wants to see the pain. It only wants to see the problem. It does not want to see the restoration. It does not want to see the truth. The other denial of himself is the denial of the authority to actually change the problem. If we deny the authority, we can only come from a place of lie, because denial is part of the lie. So it can't stand in with truth in the same place at the same time. The Holy Spirit, or Spirit, however you prefer to call it, speaks to you. He does not speak to someone else. Yet, by your listening, his voice extends because you have accepted what he says. So what does that mean, his voice extends? What it means is that once you begin to accept the truth of Spirit, that then extends into the physical circumstance. It removes the illusion that you're experiencing as fact in your life, or transforms it. Health is the witness unto health. As long as it is unattested, it remains without conviction. Only when it has been demonstrated is it proved, and must provide a witness that compels belief. No one is healed through double messages. If you wish only to be healed, you heal. Your single purpose makes this possible. But if you're afraid of healing, then it cannot come through you, because that, again, is the composite of the lie of what it is that you're experiencing both outward and inward. The only thing that is required for the healing is a lack of fear. Now, let's stop there for a moment and talk about this, because it's a really fascinating statement that's being made here. So I'll read it again. The only thing that is required for the healing is a lack of fear. And we're not just talking about, like, the health of your physical body. Being healed is a psychological, emotional, physical thing that takes place when we step into the completeness and the authority of God that is within, which allows the illusions to be removed without. So what they're saying here is the only thing that's required in order to do that is the lack of fear, meaning that whatever story makes us incomplete, the power and the authority of that story is fear. Write that down if you can. The power and the authority of that story is fear. Now, we either gave that to ourselves through experience or imagination, or it was given to us by someone else. We're only born with two instinctual fears. One is the fear of falling. The other is the fear of loud noises. These are more startle responses than anything else. The fearful are not healed and cannot heal. I want you to hear that again. The fearful are not healed and cannot heal. Thus, they engage in fearful things. This does not mean the conflict must be gone forever from your mind to heal. For if it were, there would be no need for healing then. But it does mean, if only for an instant, you love without attack. If only for an instant, you love without attack. An instant is sufficient. Miracles do not wait on time. Everything changes in the instant. But the idea is that we step out of fear and we step into love without attack. The holy instant is the miracle's abiding place. In other words, everything happens in the now because it's the only time that there is. From there, each one is born into this world as witness to a state of mind that that has transcended conflict and has reached to peace. It carries comfort from the place of peace into the battleground and demonstrates that war has no effects. For all the hurt that was war has sought to bring, the broken bodies and the shattered limbs, the screaming dying and the silent dead are gently lifted up and comforted. Now, you can, of course, you can view that as, the war that we understand is like, you know, World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, different wars that went around the world. But what we're really talking about is the battleground of the mind. That's what we're really speaking of. And in the battleground of the mind, it leaves a disaster trail with everything that it affects when we're actually in confusion. But in the holy instant, when we come from love without attack, that can all be transformed, and it does not take time because miracles do not wait on time. Love is the key. There is no sadness where a miracle has come to heal, and nothing more than just one instant of your love without attack is necessary that all this occur. In that one instant, you're healed, and in that single instant is all healing done. What stands apart from you when you accept the blessing that was the holy instant brings? Be not afraid of the blessing. For the one who blesses you loves all the world and leaves nothing within the world that could be feared. Who is that? That's God. But what's most important is the shift that takes place where it becomes you. They go on to say, but if you shrink from blessing, will the world indeed seem fearful? For you have withheld its peace and comfort, leaving it to die. Now, if you shrink, that's exactly the wording that it says. If you shrink from the blessing, what does that mean? Well, it's a fascinating thing, but a lot of people are actually afraid to grow. It really is a deep and abiding truth in most of the world. You know, it's great for a person to say, I am going to really embrace self-improvement, self-development. I am going to really work on myself and move forward. A lot of those statements alone indicate that you're still in a place of believing tremendous non-truths in your life. Is that dysfunctional? No, not necessarily, because it starts to put you on the path. But what does take place is that as you're on the path, you're being brought in within every relationship in your life closer and closer and closer to the ultimate pain that binds you in the places of getting what it is that you don't want in your life, the experiences that you don't want to take place. Here's the key. They're really giving you a tremendous truth on which to contemplate in order to shift that in what they call the holy instant. Remember, miracles do not wait on time. They say, if you shrink from the blessing, if you shrink from the blessing, in other words, if your ego gets in the way, if you're afraid of what you're going to have to face, if you're afraid of what you're going to have to change inside of yourself, the entire world around you indeed seems fearful, right? This is how you know your thinking is off. If fear is what your experience is. If you're experiencing love, you're experiencing transformation. If you're in fear, you know you're shrinking from the blessing. You're running away from the thing inside that would allow the miracle to take place in the holy instant, to allow the fact to change. Would not a world so bitterly bereft be looked on as condemnation by the one who could have saved it? Of course, but stepped back because they were afraid of being healed. The eyes of all the dying become reproach, and suffering whispers, what is there to fear? Consider well this question. It is asked of you on your behalf. Why? Because the perfect plan for your purpose has already been established. A dying world asks only that you rest an instant from attack upon yourself and that it be healed, right? There's no healing there to take place. The only healing comes from within. It then goes on to say, come to the holy instant and be healed, for nothing that is there received is left behind on you, left behind on your returning to the world. In other words, if you go back to the falseness or the lie that the present situation insists upon is real, then you go back into the suffering. Life is given to you to give to the dying world, not in reverse. And suffering eyes no longer will accuse, but shine in thanks to you who blessings gave. The holy instant's radiance will light your eyes and give them sight. And when you're talking about sight here, we're talking about understanding and awareness to see beyond all of the suffering, right? Healing replaces suffering. Who looks on one cannot perceive the other, for they cannot both be there. Now let me read that again. Who looks on one cannot perceive the other, for they cannot both be there. What you perceive is wrong in another is what is being perceived is wrong in you. And what you see in the world will witness and will witness to you. Okay? Now, where are we going with this? We're going to making a completely different change in the paradigm. Okay? And to do that, I am going to flip over to a different lesson in A Course in Miracles. And I'm going to have you write this down, and I'm going to have you carry this with you as part of literally shifting the paradigm in your mind so that you can begin to change the authority in which power you are directing into your life. So here's the first thing to understand. God himself is incomplete without me. Why? We are an expression of that from which we were created. There is no separation. The separation only takes place within the consciousness of our mind. That is choice. It is also the paradigm, okay? But God himself is incomplete without me because the purpose of God is fulfilled through me, and that purpose has already been established. It cannot be established through you without love when only fear is what is filling your mind and your heart. Remember this when the ego speaks and you will not hear it, okay? When we're talking about the ego, we're talking about the fear, or we're talking about when love attacks. Here's what you need to write down, and you need to really let this sink into your consciousness. The truth about you is so lofty that nothing unworthy of God is worthy of you. Choose then what you want in these terms, and accept nothing that you would not offer to God as wholly fitting for him. I'll read that again. The truth about you is so lofty that nothing unworthy of God is worthy of you. Choose then what you want in these terms, and accept nothing that you would not offer to God as wholly fitting for him. Why? Because you don't want anything else. Return your part to him, and he will give you all of himself in exchange for the return of what belongs to him and renders him complete. And think about the entirety of this lesson in the previous lessons. You, it says, ye are gods, but so is everyone else. So whatever it is that you offer to another, you offer to God. And if it is not something that is fitting for him, then it has to be coming from an untruth or a place inside yourself that is full of fear. So the truth about you is so lofty that nothing unworthy of God is worthy of you. That's how high you are. That is the authority that you should be coming from within your own life. Nothing, no situation has any power over you. You always have power over the situation. Transformation and restoration are the truth. That is where the holy instant exists, within the truth. Choose then what you want in these terms and accept nothing that you would not offer to God as wholly fitting for him.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/